there are different types of documentary collections. This can be classified into two different types. One is document against acceptance, and another is document against payment. That is, document against acceptance as DA collection, and documents against payment or DP collection. A very small difference between these two. Importer or buyer of the goods is presented the documents by their banks and must agree to pay according to the terms, which is usually made by a time draft. Time draft means the draft will not show at sight. The draft will show a certain number of days, which is granted as a leeway for receiving the payment. But when the bank gives the document to the buyer, buyer gives an undertaking that within the period as mentioned in the draft, the buyer will pay to the bank and bank will release to the seller. So that's a document collection, documentary acceptance for collection. A time draft is a legal binding contract to pay the exporter. Mind you, it's a legal contract to pay the exporter the money at a specified future date. And in exchange for that promise, the buyer's bank releases the documents to the buyer or importer. So, it's a legal binding on the buyer when he signs the document acceptance draft. Again, documents against payment, always this is a site draft. At site is mentioned over there. Documents against payment requires the importer to make the payment before the documents are released by the bank. A DP is also called a cash against document or a site draft. So, document against payment, always the draft will show at site. Let us understand the process involved against the export as far as documentary collection is concerned. The step-by-step process is the sale contract is made between the buyer and the seller that the transaction will be a documentary credit. The contract which has been entered into will first show that this contract is on the basis of a documentary collection, not on the basis of a letter of credit. Okay, that has got to be incorporated. The exporter delivers the goods to the port or location where the merchandise will be exported from through a freight forwarder or his custom broker or his clearing agent. He will give the goods, he'll give the documents for completing the shipment. After shipment, the bank documents are prepared and sent to the exporter's bank. Exporter will prepare a set of documents and send it to his bank, which is known as the remitting bank. Exporter's bank would be known as the remitting bank. The exporter's bank will then forward the documents to the importer's bank, which is known as the collecting bank. That bank will collect from the buyer. The importer's or the buyer's bank receives the document and notifies the buyer. There is a time period under which the notification has got to be sent to the buyer. Yes, your such and such documents have come. That these documents have been received on your behalf. The buyer's bank requests payment from the buyer in exchange for the documents. The buyer's bank will say, yes, these documents have come to our bank. Please make payment and collect this document. Accordingly, the importer has got to comply. There is a risk factor involved as far as documentary collection is concerned. The exporter's risk is higher with a time draft, with such a kind of time draft. That means not at sight, but any credit limit being granted to the extent of 15 days, 30 days, maybe 90 days also. There's always a risk involved over there. The exporter might not get paid in the case of a time draft. Buyer's bank, having released the documents with the buyer's acceptance, meaning the buyer would have the merchandise. So buyer has got the merchandise. He has already got the document and he has received the merchandise. Exporter's risk is limited with a sight draft. So this is the difference between the two types of draft: credit draft, time draft, or sight draft. Exporter's risk is limited because the buyer would not have access to the goods, because the buyer's bank would not release the documents without payment. A bank has got instructions to give the documents only when it receives the payment. And so the seller's or exporter's risk is minimized. The seller would have to find another buyer or pay to have the goods shipped back home. Now here again, the documents are always in the hands of the bank. If due to some technical reason, the buyer does not pay, does not accept the documents, the seller or exporter always has the option that he has got the condition, the power of the goods in his own hands. He will look for another buyer, sell the goods to another buyer, instruct the bank that you present these documents to the other buyer and take payment from that other buyer. Or he may say, bring back the goods. I don't want to give it to him because he's not paying payment. So the option is always in the seller's hand. Again, documents acceptance is a contractual agreement by an importer to pay the amount for receiving the goods at a specified date in future. Recapitulating the whole thing again, documents are presented for acceptance in the international trade. Importer agrees to pay the draft and rights accepted, or similar wording indicating acceptance. Buyer becomes the acceptor and is obliged to make the payment by the maturity date. I'm just capitalizing the whole thing in a short nutshell now. An acceptance agreement is part of document collections during the international trade. During a documentary collection, the exporter's bank is responsible for collecting the funds from the importer's bank. Now, I just spoke to you about ECGC. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation Limited. It is an organization of the Government of India. And this organization was set up with the objective of promoting exports from the country by providing credit risk insurance and related services for exports. Export credit insurance covers are extended to the exporters against all credit risk losses in exports of the goods and services which are being traded, both short-term, medium-term, and long-term. Of course, this corporation has introduced various export credit insurance schemes. There are many schemes to suit different kinds of the exporters to meet the requirements of commercial banks extending export credit. It's a guarantee not only to the exporter, but it's a guarantee to the bank also. When bank is giving packing credit or post-shipment credit to the exporter, so ECGC is also protecting the banks. Insurance covers enables the bank to extend timely and adequate export credit facilities to the exporters. Why, whatever payment they are giving to the exporter in terms of packing credit and post-shipment, it is covered by ECGC. There is a guarantee insurance cover. So as far as the bank is concerned, there is no loss to the bank. And of course, ECGC keeps its premium rates to the optimum level. They do charge a premium, all insurance coverage. There is always a premium involved. So ECGC also collects a premium from the exporters. But that is at a minimum optimum level. It's not exorbitant, which cannot be afforded by the exporters. What are the types of the protection that is being given to them? A range of credit insurance covers to exporters against loss in export of goods and services. There is a big range. Then there is also guarantees to the banks and financial institutions to enable exporters to obtain better facilities from them. Yes, banks, financial institutions know that they do not have any risk as far as the money is concerned. They have a guarantee in the form of ECGC. Overseas investment insurance to Indian companies investing in joint ventures abroad in the form of equity or loan. Many times in case of long-term contracts, overseas investment insurance companies also enter the picture because there is a joint venture between the buyer and the seller, or through third-party joint ventures also. And of course, ECGC protects exporters of India from credit risks arising from commercial and political reasons. Commercial means that maybe the buyer does not pay or fails to pay, or buyer may go bankrupt. That's one aspect. There is another aspect also involved that is known as a political risk. And that means that, yes, the buyer has accepted the goods. He has made the payment to his bank. But then there is a political situation which has come into the country by which that country cannot give foreign exchange to be moved out of the country. So that becomes a political risk. And such political risks are also covered by ECGC. To protect banks in India from risks of default or protected delay in payment by the exporters in respect of export finance. Exporters have obtained export finance. If the exporters delay in giving the bank whatever finance they have taken, ECGC covers them. And the whole situation becomes that to encourage the exporters to search out new markets and new importers abroad. Why? Because ECGC underwrites the major part of the credit risk. So exporters feel glad to enter into new market, maybe risky market also. Why? Because ECGC is covering their risk. So they are able to expand their market. What are the basic functions of ECGC? They offer insurance protection to exporters against payment risk. They provide guidance in export-related activities. Yes, they give you guidance. You tell the ECGC, I want to send these goods to such and such buyer. ECGC will conduct a survey to find out the creditworthiness of the buyer and tell you what is the condition of the buyer. It makes available information on different countries with its own credit ratings. Country to country, credit ratings are different. ECGC will inform the exporter based on these ratings. These are the risk factors you have got to take care. It makes it easy for exporters to obtain export finance from banks or financial institutions. It also assists exporters in recovering bad debts. Yes, ECGC will make payment to the extent of 90% to the exporter. But on the other hand, they will take steps to recover that money from the buyer. And they will inform you on the creditworthiness of the overseas buyers. They have a vast network through our Indian missions in the foreign countries. And they will also provide names and addresses of prospective buyers in the overseas marketing. So they are also a source of marketing for the exporters. It gives guarantees to the banks. What are those types of guarantees? Export finance guarantee, packing credit guarantees, export production finance guarantee, post-shipment guarantee, export performance guarantee, and export finance, that is overseas lending guarantee. That means if you give credit to the foreign buyer, even that guarantee is given by the ECGC to the banks. On the same level, in the same lines, we have an Exim Bank of India. It was formerly known as Export Import Bank. Now it is known as Exim Bank of India. Exim Bank of India has been both a catalyst and key player in the promotion of cross-border trade and investment, especially investment. Their hard factor is investment. ECGC is risk. Here they are investment. Exim Bank has commenced operations as a purveyor of export credit like other export credit agencies in the world. Throughout the world, you have got this type of agencies. And this bank has now evolved into an institution that plays a major role in partnering Indian industries, particularly the small and medium enterprises, MSMEs, in their globalization efforts. It is very helpful to MSMEs. And it offers a wide range of products and services at all stages of an export business cycle. And the bank offers includes import of technology, export product development, up to the level of export production, then helps you in export marketing. It helps you in getting pre-shipment and post-shipment credits, including overseas investments. These are the points where Exim Bank helps the exporters. Buyer's credit facilitates exports for SMEs by providing credit to overseas buyer to import goods from India. It does not give the credit facility to the exporter. It gives that credit facility to overseas buyer that, look here, you export, buy from India, we will give you credit facility. The goods are shipped by the exporter to the importer. Importer will tell Exim Bank, you make payment to the exporter. Exim Bank will make payment to the exporter. But the exporter does not have got to pay back to the Exim Bank. No. Exim Bank will receive payment after a certain period of time from the buyer. So that means the risk of the payment receiving has got into the hands of the Exim Bank. And this bank provides non-recourse finance to Indian exporters by converting deferred credit contracts into cash contracts. Deferred payment, yes, they tie up with the importer. Cash, they give immediately to the exporter. It is also extended as advance payments to Indian exporters on behalf of the overseas buyers. Yes, even advance payment is being given, depending on the agreement between the buyer and the Exim Bank. The buyer need not give advance to the exporter. On behalf of the buyer, Exim Bank gives advance payment to the exporter. It can be a transaction specific financing or a revolving renewable limit, depending on type of the contract between the buyer and seller. It can also be a revolving credit financial agreement between Exim Bank. It can be extended to more than one overseas subsidiaries of any Indian company. Indian companies, if they have their subsidiaries, it can be extended to the subsidiaries also. Since it is a non-LCE transaction, it saves LCE charges. The biggest help that Exim Bank gives you is in project opportunities, that is turnkey projects. Capital expenditure towards acquisition of assets, working capital requirements, equity investment in another company. These are all for large projects under the World Bank or foreign financial institutions. Acquisition of brands, patents, rights, other IPR requirements. Acquisition of another company. A local company wants to acquisition of another company. This is what large MNCs have been doing since quite a long time. Any other activity that would otherwise be eligible for finance from Exim Bank had it been an Indian entity. Guarantee facility to the overseas JV or WS for raising term loans, working capital, etc. They give a guarantee to other financial institutions for giving equity to the Indian company. Export-oriented units. Now, what are export-oriented units? Export-oriented units are manufacturers, exporters who export substantial quantity of their products to foreign country. Okay. Now, to such export-oriented units, Exim Bank gives special kind of help. How? Term loan is provided to EOUs to enhance their international competitiveness and capabilities. Yes, EOUs do a huge quantum of business today. They are the movers of exports in India. And Exim Bank even has helped them as far as loans or guarantees. They are extended for expansion, modernization, upgradation, or diversification of the process as far as EOUs are concerned. The range of finance program includes one, a LOC or line of credit being granted to EOU, finance for R&D, that is research and development, pre-shipment, post-shipment credit to the EOU, import finance in case import components are required. So import finance is also granted. Production equipment finance. If they need production equipments from Indian entities, so that production equipment finance is also granted to EOUs by Exim Bank. Let us now look at the marine cargo insurance to an exporter. It is very crucial as far as safety of the exporter's finance is concerned. You must have this insurance policy if you want to protect your finance. Why? Because marine insurance covers the loss or damage of ships. Any accident can happen in the seas. Ships, cargo, terminals, and any transport of property between the point of origin and the final destination. Any risk that is involved is covered under the marine cargo insurance. And marine cargo insurance is a branch of marine insurance. Marine insurance, on the whole, covers insurance to the ship hull also. The activities of the ship, the safety of the ship is also covered under the marine insurance. But that is not the lookout of the exporter. For the exporter, it is a marine cargo insurance. Though marine cargo insurance is a part of the marine insurance under the Marine Insurance Act. It insures property while in transit against loss or damage arising from all perils associated with the navigation of the sea or air and subsequent land and inland waterways also. That is, any movement of the goods is insured. It includes the perils of the sea, fire, war, pirates, thieves, capture, jettisons, and washing overboard. In case the captain decides that he wants to save his ship, he can throw the cargo overboard. And marine insurance policy will cover that loss. And any other perils which may be designated by the policy. The policy has got to designate the coverage. You have got to be very careful when you open a marine cargo insurance policy. And anything that is moved can be insured under a marine cargo policy. Anything that is moved from one place to another can be covered. Assigning the marine policy. Here what happens? The exporter opens the marine insurance policy, but ultimately the goods are received by the buyer. And it is the buyer who has got to ensure that he has received the goods properly. If not, then he will file a claim. So the policy is assigned from the seller to the buyer. That is, ownership in other property insurance remains the same over the period of cover, and policy claims are paid to the person named. Whereas marine policy is assignable as it has to allow for ownership to change as the insured goods are bought and sold. So the ownership change has got to be allowed in that particular marine policy. The policy provides the name and address of the insurers, claims, representatives in the country of destination. The policy will inform the buyer by means of that policy that our agent is such and such in your country. You can file a claim with our agent. The certificate of insurance will then be assigned usually on the reverse by the policyholder. Mind you, policyholder is the exporter. He will sign the insurance policy behind the policy and assign it. That means the insurance certificate will be assigned to benefit the buyer. Thus, the buyer can receive settlement for loss or damage to the goods in transit as though he were the original assured. That means after opening the policy, the exporter assigns the buyer as the holder of the policy to take all benefits arising out of the policy. That is the assigning of the marine policy. What are the types of marine policy? All risk insurance, open cargo, all risk policy, declared value insurance, warehouse to warehouse protection of cargo. These are the different forms of the marine cargo insurance. And some of the common terms which are there in all such policies are the terms of purchase or sale determined when insurance is in effect. Effect period is mentioned. Effective place from and to such and such place. Insurance may not go into effect until the goods are placed on the conveyance. As long as the goods are lying in the factory or the warehouse, insurance policy is not effective. It is only effective because it is movement of the goods. So once it is placed on the conveyance, then it becomes effective. Insurance may cease when the goods are discharged from the conveyance or when the conveyance arrives at the port, depending on the terms of the insurance. And insurance is not in effect if the goods do not travel via common carriers. It basically means that if you are the owner of the carrier as an exporter, then the policy will not cover you. It has got to be a common carrier, a third-party carrier, ships, air, local transport, rail. It has got to be a common carrier carrying the goods, not the exporter or importer's own carrier. That is the primary condition of the insurance. Thank you, friends. Yes, you've got to look at cost versus price. This is the biggest dilemma of any international trade. Thank you.